It's time to make it count. We give professionals the knowledge, mindset, and habits to win at work and at home. I'm Freddie Bennett, Guinness World Record holder, business owner, adventurer, and author, giving you the tools to get unstuck, unshackled, and unleashed. The clock is ticking, so let's go and make it count. Welcome to another show-stopping episode of Make It Count. And today, folks, we got a real treat for you. I am delighted to welcome Martin Eckroyd, Director at Aspire Accounting. Martin, welcome to Make It Count.
Hey, Freddie, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Martin. I am super excited about what we're going to cover in this episode. As we were just saying, yes, you are Director at Aspire Accounting, but you are also so, so much more. And we are going to dive into that. But to kick us off, Martin, for anyone that hasn't heard of yourself or Aspire Accounting, tell us a bit about yourself and what you do.
Sure. So, yeah, my name's Martin Eckroyd, a chartered accountant. And I 2 years ago branched out on my own and started Aspire Accounting. It's an accounting firm that's based out of Welsford, so home office. And Aspire Accounting is all about giving its clients confidence and control. So that's the core purpose of Aspire Accounting. And I believe that Aspire Accounting is in the business of doing that at the moment. So my mission, my vision is just to change business owners' lives.
I love that. We are all about being change makers here on Make It Count. So let's go back to the beginning, Martin. Was it always a dream of yours to be director of your own accounting firm?
No, not at all, Freddie. I've always been interested in finance, and accounting was my best subject in high school, without a doubt. But I procrastinated on it for a while. I actually went to uni as a mature student. So it wasn't until I was 28 that my now wife, at the time girlfriend, was sick of me talking about how I wanted to be an accountant and was always talking about it. But in a banking job at the time, you know, wasn't taking the right steps to get into that. And, you know, this is pre-kids, pre-mortgage. So she said, look, if you're going to do it, now's the time. So took the dive. Gave up my banking job and went to university as a mature student and got my degree and then started off as a graduate accountant in the city, did a couple of years there, decided to come a bit closer to home, did a couple of years in Albany, and then we shifted up to where we are now, Welsford in Tihana, and I worked 6 years in an accounting firm in Warkworth. And just still that development, that growth was always happening, and thought, where to from here? And it came to a point where I got to a crossroad. I either bought into the existing place or started my own. 2.5 years it took me to make the decision, but finally I took the plunge and went out and started my own. And 2 years in now, I'm absolutely loving it, Freddie.
Love that. And I think, taking the plunge is such an easy thing to say, but sometimes such a difficult thing to do. And it's also, it's very easy to talk to other people about it when it's their lives. You can just be like, yeah, go on, take the plunge, take the risk. When it's our own lives, our own families, our own futures, our own money, it can be such a scarier prospect. And how did it feel back in that banking job when you finally said, right, I've got my safe income, my steady job that I'm not particularly enamored with, and now I'm going to take the leap and follow a dream as such. Was that exciting? Was it scary? What was going through your mind?
To give up the banking job, it's easy to say now it was exciting, but no, I'll be honest, it was real scary. You know, you got, like you said, safe income, and a banking job isn't a bad job. You know, there's a lot of avenues you can go down within that financing industry there. So it was just the matter of accounting had me. It always did. You know, it was always looking at the financial statements and understanding them better than other people did, even when before I went to university. And I just was 28, didn't want to wake up 35 going, you know what, I still want to be an accountant. So that was just the end of it. I was just like, nah. And thankfully, my wife now was the one that really pushed me and said, look, I'm sick of you talking about it. Just go and do it. So that's what happened.
Amazing. And were there ever any doubts when you were going through uni and studying, especially as a mature student where you may be surrounded by slightly dare I say, younger people, were there ever any moments when you thought, oh, I'm going to go back to the safety of the shore, to the safety of the banking job?
I feel as you go back, you know, when you find that desire or that passion that you're after, and given that I had a bit of life experience, I felt like I was actually more prepared for it, more motivated to get the right results throughout that degree. And I was more of a well-rounded person. There's plenty of people that go straight to university, straight from high school, but they still don't know what they want to do. So it's you find that would be a harder one to go down for me. So I feel, you know, life experience helped in that uni days and just chasing what I really wanted, to be fair.
Absolutely. And the great news, the first big win of this story is, as you say, you got the qualification, you went into the accounting career. And then, as you mentioned, there's that crossroad of do I stay and buy in, or do I take the more unknown path? And as you say, blaze your own trail and go your own way. How did that decision feel? And maybe to ask a different way, why wasn't it a no-brainer in terms of stay, buy in, keep with what I know, keep building? Why was there that seed of something else in your mind?
Seed of something else. It probably comes back to what you said before. You know, I had told so many people, so many other clients or contractors or self-employed people that were working for other employers at the time that, you know, you're really good at what you're doing. You're really passionate. You love it. Why don't you do it for yourself? And, you know, to be fair, there's probably a couple of clients that said, well, who are you to tell me that when you're probably in the exact same position yourself? Mm. I mean, I obviously didn't say it in those harsher words, but, you know, that was the reality of it. You know, it's all good to say, you know, I could do that, but it's not until you go out and do it that you unlock and unleash and realize what you are truly capable of doing. So probably to summarize it, told enough people to go and do it. So it was about time I swallowed my own medicine, to be fair.
And were there ever any doubts, either from other people or in your own mind? Again, this whole, do I step out of my comfort zone or stay where I may not be 100% fulfilled, but I know it's a good choice. It's a safe bet. It will do as such.
Well, that one, it took me 2.5 years to make the decision. So it's pretty obvious I had plenty of doubts and plenty of things that stopped me or held me back from doing it. It's not until somebody, I can't remember who it was, but somebody said to me, what's the worst case scenario? Like, you give up that accounting job, it fails, it doesn't work. You know, you just go and pick up another accounting job. And I'm like, they're absolutely right. You know, we are probably the most employable people out there as accountants. So, you know, you just got to go in, you got to give it a go. And this time it wasn't a matter of thinking, you know, I'm going to be 40 and still working for someone else or anything like that. It was just the matter of what was the worst case scenario? You know, it didn't work. Mm. I go, hey, gave that a go. Let's go and get a job that you're quite confident and capable to do and regroup if you needed to. So that was, I guess, the thing that changed it for me.
Definitely. And one thing I've been exploring recently is the whole concept of short-term risk versus long-term risk. And I think for many people, especially in the world of business, in the world of work and careers and so on, we become too scared of future risk. We think, yeah, I'm not going to take action today because there is a risk of something that might happen in the longer term, in the future. And it's, yeah, we hide behind a couch to dodge a bullet that will never actually be fired in our direction because we never actually went and took the action. And it sounds a bit similar with what you're saying, that there's only so long we cannot take action because of something that might happen in the future, but it also might be the best thing that's ever happened to us.
Mm, well, that's kind of like the whole word fear itself, eh? Like, don't let false evidence appear real. It's just,
definitely,
you know, don't know what you don't know until you give it a go. So yeah.
And how did it feel on that final day in the job and then the first day of Aspire of the new business? Was there that kind of, like, it's been like when you take a child home from the hospital for the first time and you sit down and you look at the child, do you think, right, what now? Or did you have a lot more? Yeah, and the child just stares at you and says, like, come on, you're the parent now, you're in charge, you call the shots. Is there, you know, was there, I'm assuming there's probably a bit of strategy behind it, being such an accountant and advisor as you are. But so was it exhilarating to finally be in that position?
Well, to be honest, I'd love to say it was, but it was right in the mix of the last COVID lockdown, and I was put on garden leave for 4 weeks. So I was left in the starter gate for longer than, you know, 4 weeks of time, I guess, to develop it.
Mm.
I guess it was a matter of I knew the type of accountant that I wanted to be. And yeah, that was the key thing. Like I've always... But at that time, I understood what I was passionate about and my why is what I'd say. Like I knew, I had a great inkling, didn't know. I had a pretty good idea of the person or the accountant that I wanted to be. So I was just ready to get in there. It's amazing how the things that you do throughout your life help shape and develop you. Like if I think back to the banking industry, for example, they were really good at customer service. Like they would get you to cold call a client or a customer of the bank and just have a conversation and understand what that customer was up to and what they needed from the bank. So that gave me a massive leap ahead of somebody else that's starting the business, because I wasn't afraid to see someone driving past in a ute with signage on it and thinking, you know what, that guy obviously is looking to grow his business. I wonder what, you know, how his business is going. So for me, I wasn't as scared of cold calling people as others would be.
Mm.
And saying that, there's always something that stops you. And me would be putting somebody's phone number into the phone, and then you kind of hold fire before you hit the send button, because there's always that nervousness, like, what's this person going to be like on the other end of the phone? Are they going to be open to a conversation? You know, they're probably busy people, or they get accountants calling them all the time. Are they going to, how are they going to respond to these questions of, hey, mate, how's business going? I'm a new accountant in the area. You know, are you open for a chat?
Exactly. I think it also covers a very powerful and sometimes reoccurring theme here on Make It Count. That's the aspect of making your own luck. And what you spoke about then, it's doing something that so many people are terrified of. I think it's the next thing after public speaking. It's that whole kind of like cold calling, picking up someone. Not picking up someone. That's a whole different industry. In terms of picking up the phone, talking to someone and having that potentially cold conversation, because we face rejection, we face shame, we face people hanging up on us, all these things that we are terribly afraid of. But if, as you've proven, if you can push through that fear and say, I am going to take this action, even though I might not feel confident, even though I might feel afraid, even though I'm scared of what might happen, if you start taking that action on a more and more frequent basis, then all of a sudden opportunities start coming your way, conversations, relationships, business growth, and everyone turns around and says, that person just got so lucky. But really it was your willingness to step out of your comfort zone and do something that felt difficult and scary.
Yeah, 100%. I guess the key thing for me is I've always been curious. I've always been curious as to, you know, how or why people do what they do. You know, why is it that you're a plumber? Why is it that you've decided to be a builder? And you'll find, whether they know it or not at the time, that if people start to like to talk about themselves and they're in this and they're doing what they're doing for a reason. And if you can talk to that, then you've got them, you know, you've got them talking about themselves, and you can almost just play to that ego of, man, you're such a good builder. I could never do that. You know, tell me more about what's going on, you know, what's working, what's not working, and going from there. And then the more that you talk to them about them, the more they talk to you.
Imagine that, being in some kind of role where you have to ask people questions and they talk to you and they tell you about their lives and their businesses. I could never imagine myself doing something like that, obviously, here on the Make It Count podcast. But you're absolutely right, Martin. And I love what you were saying in terms of why people do what they do. And you mentioned this a few minutes ago in terms of your why. So I have to ask, obviously, what is your why?
So my personal why is to inspire and lead people. And it's come out more and more in the different facets that I've done. Like, for example, I used to go to the gym, and I used to go to Les Mills classes, and I'd always look at the instructor on stage and think, you know what, I could do that. Then, of course, the opportunity came, and I actually did train and became a Les Mills instructor. And it turned out, you know, that's got me, you know, through uni, because doing that kind of stuff. But there was something about being in front of people and leading them and inspiring them to do more than they thought they could do, that just really pushes the right buttons for me. It's, if somebody comes up to me and says, thank you, like, that workout was amazing, I really appreciate, you know, I couldn't believe I could do that. You know, that to me is why I do what I do.
Mm, I love that. And it goes so much deeper than numbers. I think
100%.
And again, one thing I've discovered on the journey that we all love being on is that it's the importance of meaning. And if we are just doing something, especially in the professional services industry, if we are just doing something either because of the numbers or for the numbers or just to put another number in the bank account, it doesn't potentially give us that meaning that we're searching for. And having that more stronger, more powerful meaning is what drives us to, I believe, to excel, to perform, to want to get out of bed every morning, to maximize human potential, which is one of my whys. And it is about finding that deeper power, as you say, to help people change.
Yeah, it's interesting to say that. I actually had a meeting with a client this morning, and she pretty much said a similar thing. You know, I mentioned that I was going to be talking to yourself, and she literally said to me, she goes, the numbers and the financial statements, I know that are needed. I need them done. And you're the one that gets them done. She goes, but that's not why I'm with you. It's the matter of you care about me as a person and what I want to do. Because at the end of the day, those numbers mean nothing without me, as in without her. So it's just to hear messages like that, because she's 100% correct. Like, there's plenty of businesses out there. There's good ones, there's bad ones, there's ones that are doing well, there's ones that are struggling. The ones that do well have the right person behind the business leading that way. And it's such an honor for me to be able to, you know, like you said, unlock human potential, to be able to help them and guide them to create the business that they truly want and deserve.
And when it comes to that with the clients, you mentioned businesses and some that are highly successful and some that aren't successful. Do you think that anyone can be a business owner? Do you think anyone could be a successful business owner with the right guidance, with, as you were saying at the start, the right confidence, the right control?
Ooh, that's a tough one. If they've got the desire and the passion, yeah, 100%, I believe so. It doesn't mean, to be honest with you, I've met plenty of successful people that are still employees for other businesses. So, you know, it's more than that, to be honest. So, yeah.
No, I think it is a good point, and I have to know as well in terms of the confidence and control. Those two words, those two very powerful C words, along with change, as you talked about, of business owners, why do you think confidence and control is so important to find success in any areas of people's lives?
It's the two things that I wanted for my business when I first started out. I wanted to be a confident business owner, and you know, the numbers are what's going to let me have control of my business. And I believe that, you know, any business owner, when it comes down to it, if they have those two things, they're going to have a successful business. If they are confident in what they're doing and how they're doing it, and they know where the numbers are going and what's working, what's not working, then they're going to be in control. So to me, there are two key ingredients that a business owner needs to have a successful business.
Quick one. We have got an amazing free community of professionals who are discovering the secrets to getting unstuck, unshackled, and unleashed at work and at home. It's called Make It Count. Funny that. And the link is in the show notes. Check it out and discover the secrets for yourself. Plus, if you want to see behind the Make It Count curtain and discover what's happening on my latest adventures, give me a follow on Instagram at the Freddie Bennett. And now back to the show. Yeah, I totally agree. And I think the control aspect especially isn't the most sexy word ever. It's not as sexy as confidence and change and all these things, but it's so, so vital. If anything, overconfidence in all aspects of our lives, as I know very well, overconfidence can lead to a lack of control. But I think it doesn't matter whether you've got a business making $100 million a year, if you have no control over your systems, your structures, your people, your processes, your money, yourself, then it's always going to be difficult to succeed.
Yeah, well, it's about them knowing what they're going to do and what they're not going to do as well, as more than anything else, you know, as we know. You know, you can't say yes to everything.
Definitely. And I think we all learn if we do say yes to everything, then we end up saying no to ourselves, which is obviously not a good place to be. And Marty, we have to talk about another aspect of your life as well, because here we do actually have a Make It Count exclusive that I'm here in the Make It Count studio, and you are actually in a fire station, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm at the local fire station. I am a volunteer firefighter down here in Wellsford. So, yeah, I guess you'll hear out the siren if it goes off. But, yeah, it's something I wanted to learn and be involved with, to be involved with the community. More than that, you know, I've got a young family, and I just, if an incident ever happened with them, I want to be the one that knows what to do and to be able to help. You know, that whole freeze or flight, or, you know, freak out when something goes wrong. Like, I didn't want to be that person. So this is something that I wanted to learn. I wanted to learn how to respond in a situation that's probably not the one that you always want to attend to. So that's why I'm here. Not only supporting the community, but just here to, I guess, increase being that good human being when things need to happen.
Definitely. And I do love the way that you've, every 5 year old child, but 5 year old boy especially wants to be a firefighter, and you've actually followed that dream. And I know, I say, certainly my kid to be like, wow, firefighter, that's amazing. I'm sure it's also the hidden meaning that at this stage Make It Count is just too hot to handle, so it is good that we have a professional here on hand. But also you've mentioned, as I say, you've built and are building, continuing to build this successful accounting firm. And you've got the young family, and you're wanting to keep on top of things like health, and you've got the firefighting role, work-life balance, and ironically burnout, overwhelm, and everything else is so prevalent in the lives of all professionals. How do you balance it all? How do you juggle all these different commitments?
Yeah, I guess prioritizing is key. Like, you know, I'm in a position now where I can I go to school events, or you know, taking the kids to their sporting events or whatever's going on. So I've got that freedom to attend those things. So, you know, I prioritize my family over the work all the time. You know, clients are happy with that. Like, I would like my clients to do the same thing as well. You know, when it comes to the fire brigade, for example, that becomes third of the on the list as well. So I guess for me to be able to fit it all in, it's just all about communicating it to the family and just sticking to a routine. You know, I train, I go to the gym at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's probably not everybody's cup of tea, but it allows me to be home to help get the kids ready for school, and they jump on the bus at 8, and then I can get into work. And then as soon as they come home from school, I can shut off the computer and be the dad that I want to be. So it's all about routine is what's key for me to be able to do it all as such.
Do you ever feel a sense of guilt or a sense that you should be doing more? And the reason I ask is because we have a lot of professionals who say, you know, if I'm sitting on the couch with my family at 6 o'clock on a Wednesday night, I feel like I should be responding emails. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. But it sounds like you've been quite good at saying, no, this is this time for this activity, and nothing's going to get in the way.
It's definitely a habit or a skill that I've learned over time. I definitely didn't have it at the beginning, you know, especially when you start out and you've got no clients. You know, you're definitely trying to put everything in to make sure you can keep the lights on every month. But yeah, now it's the case of this is this time, this is that time, you know, and it just rolling on, and just you block your calendar out for the times that you need to do. And, you know, your clients know when you're available, when you're not. You know, you can fall into the trap of sending emails at 6, 7 o'clock at night, but don't be surprised if you get an email back from them. So just don't do it. Do it in the right time, you know. A good thing about email is you can do the old schedule send, you know, delay it to be sent to 8, 9 o'clock next morning. At least, you know, don't have to feel guilty about it.
That's true. And in terms of the growth of your business, and say with the type of clients that you want to work with and the type of work that you want to be doing, has that ever been a struggle for you in terms of dare I say, finding your tribe of clients, as you say, ambitious, bold business owners who want to link in with your goals about changing their lives and living that bigger purpose?
I think being clear, well, I know, to be honest, I know that being clear on the work that you want to do and the people that you want to do it for, it helps attract them. So to be honest, when you're out there by yourself, you don't need a lot of clients to keep the lights on at home. So, you know, you just start with one, you do a great job, and then more will follow as well. It's, you know, all about doing the right things by them, and then they'll refer clients to you as well. I guess the best bang for buck when I started out on my own was to find what I call like that circle of influence. So connecting with an insurance broker and a mortgage broker and, you know, investment advisors, and just connecting with them and finding out what they want and the clients they're looking for. And then that was the best idea for me. I also ran seminars out of a cafe in the afternoon, because clearly a cafe doesn't have any clients coming in at 3 o'clock. Mm. But, you know, they were happy to have, you know, me hire the venue, plus they catered it. And, you know, I just put the message out there. I want to talk to you about growing your business. And, you know, those referral partners were crucial for bringing clients in, for me to be able to talk to an audience of, you know, potential clients of the person that I was and who I wanted to be. And then, of course, they come on board as clients, and it's just snowballed.
I think, as you say, a lot of it comes back to that natural curiosity. And I speak to many accountants and professionals in other businesses, and they say, well, we'd love to do something like that, but first we'd need to hire a grand venue, and then we'll need to do the marketing, and then we'll need to create the PowerPoint slides. Then we'll need to do this. Then they end up saying, you know, maybe we're too busy at the moment. Maybe in a few months' time, we'll look at doing this. But it isn't about that. It's about just getting people in a place and having powerful conversations and asking the right questions and then listening, rather than just try to over-engineer these things and pitch people. I always believe personally that the going in with that service-first approach is always going to help us and the other person in the most powerful way. And is that something that you found as well?
Yeah, well, people like to be educated. They like to learn new things. So if you can go in with, hey, this is what I know, you know, this is what I know works for a business, and rather than try to sell to them, it's more of a like, this is what's working out in the industry, you know, because as accountants, we are seen to be the one that knows all about everything in all sorts of businesses. So why not put that on a screen and talk to it? And yeah, again, knowing who you want to be and what it is that you offer and just pushing that out there nicely, it comes back to you. So it's very powerful.
Definitely. And I always believe that if trying to grow your business ethically, at least, you can never convince someone to do something. You can never convince someone to become a client. You can never convince someone to sign a contract with you. You can never convince someone to fall in love with you or enter a relationship. We can't convince people to do anything ethically. They have to convince themselves. And the way they convince themselves is by asking them questions. It's by helping them to talk. It's one of my favorite phrases. We cannot tell people what to see. We can only show them where to look. And you say, by being there and being curious and just sharing what works is always a better way to approach than trying to sell or convince or persuade or any of that stuff.
Yeah, you definitely can't tell people what to do. They'll definitely fight you on it. But you can understand what is it that they want to do, where is it that they want to go, what is it that they want to achieve, and to be honest, how are you going to do it? How are you going to get there? You know, the more you can ask those types of questions, the more they're going to realize you actually care about them, you are actually interested in what they want as a person, rather than just being a number in a business and a tax return or financial set of accounts. You know, it's
definitely, no, 100% agree. And so as the result of this, it's clearly been a successful approach. As you say, you're growing Aspire Accounting, you're growing in terms of your leadership, in terms of the work that you do outside of the accounting world as well. So I have to ask, what's next? What does 2024 and beyond look like for you?
I definitely want to take my message to a bigger stage. I'm definitely taking some notes out of the, you know, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People from Stephen Covey and the interdependence. You know, it's for me, I am creating businesses that are successful with, you know, without me. And it's what I want Aspire to do. So I want to be circled around more people that can do what I do and grow it. And yeah, I've found my passion for it. I've found who I am, and I'm definitely not at the top of the pyramid yet, but I am definitely keen to get out there and just spread the positivity of who I am and what I've created. So, you know, you're going to see more of me for sure.
I love that. The whole world needs more of Martin, that's for sure. On the flip side, I have to ask, if anyone's listening to this and they're saying something on the lines of, it's all very well for you to say that, Martin, I don't know what my passion is, I haven't found my passion yet, what would you say to them then?
Yeah, that's a deep conversation. It's about understanding what is it that they like within what they're doing, you know, and possibly talking to them about what do they not like as well. I definitely, if I can uncover what that passion is, then I can definitely have a lot of conversation with them. If somebody's not passionate about something, that is a tough one. It's just understanding what is it that they like about what they're doing right now. They'll know. It's just a matter of, are you empathetic enough to give them that time and that space? Because to be honest with you, they're not, they've probably never been asked that question before. And so, yeah, it would be a hard one to dive into, to be fair.
Yeah, I think you're right. I've struggled with it myself in years gone by. I always believe it has to start off with what lights you up, what fills you with joy, what problems would you enjoy wrestling with every single day. Someone said to me once, you are best positioned to serve the person who you used to be, which I found very powerful. And I always think that might not be the answer, but certainly it must be a good place to start looking. Who is the version of me from 5 years ago? How could I help that person? And that usually gives us some clue or indication of maybe what our purpose here is.
Yeah, I do like those random questions of, you know, if you had a magic wand and, you know, you had one wish, what would you do with it? You know, those sorts of things start to dive down the right questions of unlocking that passion that that person's got.
Definitely. And I also believe that deep down, and maybe we're getting very philosophical on this. I love it when Make It Count gets philosophical. One of my personal views is that deep down, we actually do know what we're passionate about. We do know what our purpose is or what we want to do. We just don't want to admit it to ourselves because we fear that we can't do it out of shame or guilt or obligation. We say, well, I'd love to do that, but surely I couldn't. And one of my favorite coaching questions is what are you pretending not to know? And I think that that's always a powerful one that we can ask ourselves. What am I pretending not to know?
Yeah, I'd be interested in what some of the answers are from that sort of a question.
Yeah, it'd be a very, probably I had to put an explicit language rating on the podcast if I said mine, because it's usually, yeah, in terms of what I'm pretending not to know, I certainly uncover a few things that I do know deep down, but I'm just always trying to ignore. But back to you, more importantly, Martin, and the growth of yourself and the growth of your business. We're clearly in slightly turbulent times here in 2024 when we're recording, both globally. There's always questions around technology, AI, economics, politics, all these things. How do you see the landscape being, both for accountants, for the professional services industry, and for business as a whole?
It's always been like this to me, and there's always been innovation and change, and those that adapt sooner are the ones that thrive from it, you know. There's plenty of businesses that popped up when COVID happened, you know, and everybody thought COVID was the end of the world, but it really wasn't. It was just, you know, it opened up some more opportunities that we weren't aware of before it was there. You know, you talk about AI and ChatGPT and things, and even to be honest, I was a bit sort of questioning that. But I use it all the time now. It's brilliant. You know, I've always got these crazy thoughts and I can't put words to paper. And then that's what ChatGPT allows me to do right now. So, you know, those who, I guess, embrace and jump on these things are the ones that are going to, you know, make something of every opportunity that comes their way. So it's all just being above the line and seeing the opportunity rather than the issue to me.
I love that. Definitely. I think, as you say, there is no matter what challenges we face, no matter what issues come our way, there are always opportunities if we are prepared to see them. And I think that is a powerful message for future, Martin, definitely. Before we close things off and we tell everyone where to contact you, clearly we have the tradition here on Make It Count, which I'm sure you're aware of. If you've been listening to the episodes, we have the secret question, which is where one of the previous Make It Count guests gets to ask a secret question to the current guest, which is obviously yourself. So if I pull up your secret question, I have no idea what this is either. So let me see. Okay, so I'll have to read a couple of times to get the words right in my head. So, Martin, your secret question is, what needs to happen in your life for you to look back at the end of this year and say it was the best year of my life? What needs to happen in your life for you to look back upon this year and say it was the best year of my life? Whew, bit of a mouthful.
Am I reflecting on 2024 because it's just started, or am I reflecting on the amazing year that I had in 2024?
I think it was written in terms of at the end of 2024, let's say. So yeah, if you look back at the end of 2024, what needed to happen this year for you to say, wow, that was the best year of my life?
Funnily enough, I've actually got my business plan for 2024 all documented and ready to go.
Of course you have. I mean, it's almost like someone's focusing on confidence and control there. I love it.
You've got to be congruent, don't you? You've got to walk the talk.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I have my plan set and, you know, I'm going to achieve it. It's not if I will. It is going to happen because, you know, for me, I am walking the talk and setting the plan. So there's some revenue targets I want to hit. There's definitely growth for Aspire that wants to happen. In the firefighting industry, there's some operational skills that I want to get that, you know, I've booked in the courses for. So those things are going to happen. I've got some gym goals as well. So I'm not quite going to do what you're doing, Freddie, but I've got some other goals to hit in the goal from the gym as well. So yeah, if I can, or when I achieve all the things that I have written down, I'm looking forward to reflecting and celebrating at the end of the year because I would have achieved what I've set out to go for.
Exactly. I love that. And I love the our language betrays so much around our thoughts. I love the way you are like, I will achieve this. As you say, it's not if, it's not but, it's not perhaps, it's not I hope. It's like, this is going to happen. I'm going to do this. Yeah. And I think that is such a powerful rule for business and for life. And Martin, I've absolutely loved our conversation. So many insights there, so many pearls of wisdom. I am a huge, huge fan of everything that you do. If people have listened to this and they want to reach out and to find out more about Aspire or to get in touch with you, where do they find you?
Yeah, obviously, aspireaccounting.co.nz, or they can email me direct, Martin, MARTYN, at aspireaccounting.co.nz, so ASPIRE in accounting. Yeah, I'd love to get an email and hear, you know, any questions you got, or, you know, any positives, negatives, anything that's going on, reach out. More than happy to connect.
Absolutely. I'm sure you were going to get many people reaching out. Martin, you are inspirational in terms of business, life, and putting out fires wherever we may be. So thank you so much for being part of Make It Count. We'll have to get you back for a part two later in the year. I know we don't need to keep you accountable to those goals because you're going to be making it happen. But that's all part of the Make It Count journey. But for now, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, Martin, for being part of Make It Count.
Thanks, Freddie.
Thank you.
See you later.
Cheers. Thank you for listening to another show-stopping episode of Make It Count. I would love it if you could give us a 5-star review, subscribe, and share this podcast with the world. I am on a mission to get professionals unstuck unshackled and unleashed at work and at home. You can join our free Make It Count community. Click the link in the show notes, and you can also follow all of my adventures on Instagram at the Freddie Bennett. Well, for now, we made it count once again. I've been Freddie Bennett, you have been amazing, and I will see you on the other side.